हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहैः ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Page 39. Sri Yamaraj continued. It is wonderful that these elderly women do not have a higher sense of life than we do. Indeed, we are most fortunate, for although we are children and have been left to struggle in material life, unprotected by father and mother, and although we are weak, we have not been vanquished or eaten by ferocious animals. Thus we have a firm belief that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has given us protection even in the womb of the mother, will protect us everywhere. The boy addressed the women, O weak women, only by the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is never diminished, is the entire world created, maintained, and again annihilated. This is the verb of the Vedic version. This material creation, consisting of the moving and non-moving, is exactly like his plaything. Being the Supreme Lord, he is completely competent to destroy and protect. Sometimes one loses his money on a public street, where everyone can see it, and yet his money is protected by destiny and not seen by others. Thus the man who lost it gets it back. On the other hand, if the Lord does not give protection, even money maintained very securely at home is lost. If the Supreme Lord gives one protection, even though one has no protector and is in the jungle, one remains alive, whereas a person well protected at home by relatives and others sometimes dies. No one is able to protect him. 38-40. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. The Lord's power is illustrated by positive and negative examples. Drishta Rakshitam means protected by the Lord. What is neglected by the Lord is destroyed. What is glanced upon by the Lord is protected. A person overlooked by the Lord is destroyed by others. Srila Prabhupada adds, these are examples of the supremacy of the Lord. Our plans to protect or annihilate do not act, but whatever he thinks of doing actually happens. The examples given in this regard are practical. Everyone has seen such practical experiences, and there are also many other clear examples. For instance, Prahlad Maharaj said that a child is certainly dependent on his father and mother, but in spite of their presence, the child is harassed in many ways. Sometimes, in spite of a supply of good medicine and an experienced physician, a patient does not survive. Therefore, since everything is dependent on the free will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, our only duty is to surrender unto him and seek his protection. According to Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, now the queens raise an objection. But then there is an inequality in the Lord, because he favors one and ignores another. Yamaraj answers in the next verse, right? Because the whole discussion is about this equality, right? Mm-hmm. And so then they're seeing if somebody's getting a benefit and someone else isn't, then that must mean there's inequality. Because it's just looked at, okay, everyone is standing there, everyone just gets benefit. Rather than going back behind that everyone, according to what work they've done, they get benefit. You understand? Just like, let's say, people go to the office, right? You have the guys down, you know, in the, what is it, in the mail room or things like that, and they're just sitting around just talking nonsense all day, hardly doing anything. Then you have some guys on the main floor, they're working all right. You have some of the guys in the office working really hard like this. But, you know, if we were being equal, everybody should get the same payment, same treatment, same position, same everything. Right? We would all say, no, that's not right. So then that's the way the Lord is. How you apply yourself is how he responds. So he's equal. You do more, you'll get more. You do less, you'll get less. So it's equal in that he'll deal with everybody the same, in that what you work is what you'll get. What you work is what you get. Okay. Does that make sense? So the point is no, but I want to get, so then you work for it. You understand? So what happens here is some sentiment comes in.
Yes. We see karma also comes in, and the doubt may come that it doesn't matter what we do, but we get the results from previous actions.
Yes.
We actually not aware of what we are striving for now, we'll get in the future by God's mercy.
Yes.
So it seems that we don't get what we want.
You do get what you want, you just get it in time. Right? Means, in other words, it's like this. If I do the work right now, can I expect that I will get the results yesterday? Yes, of course. So that's the difficulty. Is that we want the results when we want it, rather than when's the natural time that they'll come. You know, things take time. You're hungry now, you walk into the kitchen and you want all kinds of nice things to eat, but there's a time factor in that. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay, Yamaraj answers. Every conditioned soul receives a different kind of body according to his work. And when the engagement is finished, the body is finished. Although the spirit soul is situated in subtle and gross material bodies in different forms of life, it is not bound by them, for he is always understood to be completely different from the manifested body. Okay, so the living entity is not actually connected with it, but he chooses to identify with it. And therefore, then he has problems. So if you don't do that, then things will go differently. But we choose like that because we want to get the facility we can from that. Right? Does that make sense? In other words, the primary is not facility. The secondary is facility. So the enjoyment in the primary comes from the engagement of the secondary. So there's the idea, if I have the secondary, I will enjoy. So all the focus goes on the secondary. So then we get distracted. Just like, yeah. So then if things aren't going the way we want, then in the secondary we have a problem. But the problem with the secondary, it's always changing. That's the nature of secondary. It's always changing. It's always transforming. So whatever you have, it will transform. Mm-hmm. So depending, it may be transforming better, it may be transforming worse. Right? It may be getting better and worse at the same time. You know?
Is that because the secondary is energy?
The secondary is the energy, so it's always transformed. But it's connected to the primary. Right? So that also makes a problem, is because we're trying to enjoy, and things don't always go the way we want, depending on the situations, then we find that our concept of how we want to enjoy also changes. So that makes it even harder. Like Krishna has a particular way he likes things, but there's unlimited ways to manifest it. But we start changing how we like things. So that's already hard enough, right? When you're a kid, then you want certain things. When you get a little older, you want something else. When you get older than that, something else than that. So then it's not consistent. That's also harder to get. You know, while you see those that are really focused on something like that, you know, you have a kid, he's young, he wants to, you know, his parents are doctors, he wants to be a doctor. So he really studies, puts in the work, then at an earlier age, he's a doctor. But if he starts out, you know, he wants to be an astronaut, and then after that it turns into something else, and then, you know, a fireman, and then after that it turns this and that, and then after that he delivers pizza. So, you know, so it just keeps changing. So that's the difficulty. But if you have one focus, then it stays. Right. So that one central focus being Krishna, that makes everything work. But when we change that, that it's whimsical according to our mind, which is going to be according to the modes. Right? See, Krishna has his desires. His energies fulfill it. We, being under the control of the modes, or under his energies, as the energies transform, our desires transform. So there's a difference there. Krishna, he has the central desire, but the energy transforms to give a variety of ways to fulfill that desire. Well, for us, the desire actually changes. Right? Because the central point, the primary is ourselves, and ourselves is under the control of the modes. Therefore, the desires always change. So that's why then there's the problem. Now, it's like you have the young businessman, and he wants to be this huge business magnate. So even if he's 50, 60 when he gets there, he's satisfied because he's had that desire for the last, 40 years. But for us, we have the desire, and by the time it actually comes, then we're not interested anymore. We've moved on, and so therefore, we're never satisfied. So that's why the problem is, why not yesterday? And why yesterday? That's because, we're being practical, because we'd rather have it the day before yesterday.
Should have always been there.
Yes, like that. It should have been, the Ferrari was always in the garage. We just didn't know about it until we matured enough to know about a car. And the first one there, of course, was like that. Yes?
This is some glorious day, invest a lot of energy in the secondary.
Yes.
And they suffer.
Yes.
And some neglect the secondary and still they suffer.
Right.
So, what's the balance?
The primary. Yeah, that's the whole thing. It's going on to, how you say, not wanting to end up going the whole time on one sentence, but like we did yesterday, like that. is that. You have the spiritual world, the primary is common. It's the satisfaction of the Lord. Now, according to their nature, there's different ways they go about satisfying the Lord, but because it's about satisfying the Lord, then basically there's a sense of community. Right? Because that's the most important thing. That's what's common. Now, how you're going to go about it is not a problem. Right? So that's why the focus on the primary is so important. And focus on the secondary is only in line with one's nature in pursuance of the primary. Right? Does that make sense? So let's try an example. We have a big kitchen. Okay? Let's say we're cooking for some big program. Sunday program, something. Right? So now you have 6-8 cooks in there. All cooking different preparations, needing different facilities, different methods of cooking, different kinds of utensils, different amounts of time. Then you have devotees in there helping, like that, cutting things, preparing things. You have other devotees washing pots and everything like that. You have some that are running around arranging, the items that are there, marketing and just seeing it's all there, or organizing menus, or other people's help. You understand? It's a big organization there. Now, if Krishna's the center, that all goes very smoothly. So they can all be doing completely different things and there's no problem at all. Does that make sense? So that's what we're talking about here. The primary is the focus. The secondary can be so different, but still there's all that camaraderie. That's what we're talking about. The Vedic culture can accommodate all the secondary differences because the primary is the same. Even if it's just the minimum that the primary is, we follow the Vedic literatures. We follow Shastra. We work on authority. So we do our duties. So because the Shastra says how it is, the Shastra's already perfectly put them in their places so that they don't conflict. So even if you follow that alone, just on that platform of Dharma, then you can actually experience human culture. Right? Then if you add in the element of the commonality of the soul, it becomes even better, easier, right? Less conflict by attachment. And if you bring in bhakti, then even easier again. Right? Does that make sense? Now let's say everyone in the kitchen, it's not about, they don't have a common goal, it's not about Krishna, they're just all cooks. Right? Or the guys that are pot, they're just that. So now as far as the pot washer is concerned, it's really annoying that they keep making a mess out of everything. The guy tried in one pot, he didn't like it, he throws that into the sink, he tries another pot, he does, you know, he just uses everything possible he can. Well, the pot washer can point out he could have used half of that and got his preparation cooked. Plus, all these pots, he needs to stack them up there nicely. They got to dry. They got to do this and that. Why do they keep coming along, pulling out pots that they need? Things are falling over and stuff like that. Does that make sense? This guy is cooking and that. He decided he wants the whole space. Because if you have the whole space, it's really, really comfortable. But other people need the same space also. But my preparation, mine's more difficult. Mine's more this. Yours can, you can sit over in the, you understand? So like that, each one in the kitchen will think that, so they cannot get along. So that's the whole point, is in the modern scenario, what is the commonality? Now and again, people may come together and, you know the community and we're, you know, fraternity, equity, all this kind of jazz, but how often do they do that? Very rare. So therefore, it's all about how can I get my secondary and, you know, everybody else is trying to get their secondary and it doesn't work. Now, if everybody's kind of getting it in a way that they all agree to, it works. But when you bump into another kind of community, what you consider normal, the other person considers really not good. Does that make sense? Like, remember where, I forget who we were driving with. We were driving with somebody, I can't remember what country they were from. But it was not Germany. Okay? And so, you know, it's like here, you see an advantage, you take it. You know, it's like, you know, you come up to the rail crossing, and there's no cars. So you drive all the way up to the, you're not supposed to be there. That's the other lane for the other side. But no, you're there. You know, and then if the gate opens, you get through first, you know, behind all the 5 million motorcycles and bicycles and, you know, everything like that. You know, it's a whole scene. You know, and sometimes you see it that the other guys are fast, you're fast, you get out there and they stop on the tracks and the whole thing becomes a total jam. Right? But no one really minds because, you know, it didn't quite work out. But if it, you know, had been a split second faster, you know, okay, it would have worked. You know, they'll yell and scream and have some fun, but it's not a big deal. Right? Now, so we're going along, similar kind of thing. There's the traffic is there, and there's certain lines, right? And, you know, Germany, everything's exact. So this line is for going here. The other lines are for other things. So there's one devotee that's completely open. So he goes driving down 20 cars to go by. Every car he went by, they were honking, and, you know, they were really upset. That how can you do this? They just wouldn't do it. They'll just stand there nicely in line. You know, waiting, you know, there's no lights, I mean, there's no cars, there's no nothing. But they'll all sit there and wait. Because it's the rule. This other devotee, he was from somewhere else. I don't remember where, but it was not from Germany. And so he said, why am I going to sit here? So, you understand? So that's the whole thing, is if the community accepts it, then even if it's a disturbance, it doesn't bother them. But the problem is because of the modes, every different community has different things that disturb them. You know? It's just like, let's say, a interesting kind of fundament. How do you say? You get on the train, right? And people come and sit down in your place and this and do all kinds of stuff. Right? And we're freaking out. How can you do that? But at the same time, you look around, none of the other Indians are freaking out. Right? So, they don't necessarily have a very sophisticated civil sense. But they have great tolerance and accommodation. So even though they don't have that sensitivity, no one minds. You understand? Therefore, even though they all have that kind of thing, everyone gets along. Right? Well, in the West, they have that civil sense, and some, you know, depending on the person, more developed. But at the same time, they have a lack of tolerance. The more it's developed, the less tolerance they have. So when you put the two cultures together, they're like complete opposites. So, does that make sense? So that's what we're talking about. Is that these will be total deal breakers. But when Krishna is the center and everything's on that, then there's not a problem. Right? Does that make sense? Yes.
Consciousness on the level of dharma, then even material desires, they are like more consistent.
Yes, yes, because when it's the consciousness is on the level of dharma, then everybody is following the rules of the dharma. So there's a common point. And the rules are the same, they don't change. There may be some instances where there's some understanding or interpretation of the dharma. Does that make sense? So there you might have some slight differences. But the basis of it is the same. And because that basis, if someone more mature comes along and gives a better explanation, then everybody will accept. Because there is authority. Right? The Shastra's authority, you're speaking what the Shastra says, then it's authority. Is that what it says? So it makes that, therefore, it's the widest of situations in which you can develop community. Is that what it says? So that's the whole point. When the primary is the same, then it will work. But when you leave the Vedic system, then it's speculative. So even you talk about all kinds of nice qualities and nice kinds of cooperation, how broad is that? Really, how broad is that? So that's the difficulty. It's more broad. But generally, you see, it's a little bit more narrow or a little less narrow. It's just a matter of whether you shift it more right or left on the spectrum. You know what I'm saying? You have a little bit more broader minded, a less broader minded, conservative, a little broader minded, less broad minded, liberals. But it's just a matter of where you shift it. It's not that they actually can accommodate that much. They just accommodate in their own areas. You understand? Well, the Vedic, then, culturally, everybody's together. Philosophically, they may have a difference. Right? Because that's where the problem comes. So culturally, they have one point. The principle is one. And then their secondary is where their nature is. Then they have an ultimate primary. That's where differences is. That's where there'll be a lot of difficulty. But with devotees, because it's Krishna, then you've solved both problems. Right, so on that cloud, then you have a commonality there on the ultimate goal, and on that, so that's why then, you know, you go to the temple in the morning, then the sadhana goes night, everything goes nicely there. Outside of that, that's where problems may start. Differences of view and everything. Is that what it says? Like that. And why is that? Because outside of that, then you're dealing more with the secondary. But if you're in the temple, the main thing is primary. You have to use some secondary, of course. Right? It's about pleasing Krishna and the kirtan. You do have to use some kartals and madanga. So there may be some differences of opinion how you should play them, this and that. But it's not the point of that you should be playing them, that is common. Does that make sense? But when you get outside of that, then you're just dealing with secondary that has to be connected to the primary. At that point, that's where conditioning will come in, and there'll be so much difference of opinion. So unless the Shastra is the central point, then it's just going to be everyone's background. Like that. It's not even a common area. You've seen areas where you have these a really rich neighborhood for a few blocks, and right next to it are really, really poor. Like that. And it's not like they're right next to it. They're within a block of each other, two blocks. You know, sometimes I've seen one street is very affluent. The next street over, which is just the back of the block, that one's poor. You know, so it's not that, okay, they're all in the same, but they're right there in the same area. You know? Yeah. So there'll be very much differences of that. And then within that community, there'll be so much differences. Because the common point's not Krishna. Common point's not Shastra. So that's the whole thing you're trying to bring in. That's why Prabhupada says the philosophy and the religion, then they have to be there. Otherwise, you'll get speculation. Right? We don't speculate on the philosophy. We speculate on the culture. Does that make sense? So that's the whole difficulty. Is that okay?
Yes. I think in one sense there's a sambandha abhidaya prayojana for the culture and then also for the philosophy.
Yeah.
And until one becomes fully self-realized, they're divergent.
Yes.
Finally, they come together with pure devotion.
Yes, but that's why you follow what's recommended by the acharyas, because we don't know, so we just follow what they do. We follow the program that they do, this, that. We don't know. So, but if we follow it, we find that there's great advantage. We develop a taste for it. Right? Then it's nice to do. So it's just like what environment do the parents have for the kids? Not whatever they feel is best. Right? So for the kid, they don't know. But with time, they get adjusted to that. Like that. Let's say you take a baby from Mexico. Another motor baby. And take him over and he's raised in China. Right? He'll like his rice, eating it with chopsticks. You know, and take the Chinese kid, bring him up in Mexico, he'll be eating his, you know, hot tamales. Right? So that's the whole point, is it's just how, what you're exposed to, that's what you get conditioned by. Okay? You know, so that's why then the acharyas give a system so that we can recondition ourselves to something higher. You know, minimum goodness, but you're trying to get it to pure goodness. So those activities of pure goodness that are found within the method of goodness, or those activities of goodness that are compatible with pure goodness, those are what are recommended. Does that make sense? You know, this is what we would do, but because people have desires, so these activities don't get in the way of that. Right. Does that make sense? Yeah. Srila Prabhupada comments, here it is very plainly explained that God is not responsible for the living entities accepting different types of bodies. One has to accept a body according to the laws of nature and one's own karma. Therefore, the Vedic injunctions that a person engaged in material activities should be given directions by which he can intelligently apply his activities to the service of the Lord to become free from the material bondage of repeated birth and death. Svakarmana tam abhyarchya siddhim vindati manavaha. Bhagavad Gita 18:46. So is not changing what he's doing, he's changing his understanding of what he's doing, or his consciousness of what he's doing. That's the important thing. Does that make sense? That's why these things are recommended. So if you follow the recommended lifestyle, then your lifestyle can easily be engaged in Krishna's service. Right? So since we're only interested in a sattvic lifestyle engaged in Krishna's service, therefore for us it's one thing. It's a spiritual lifestyle. But factually you're taking the mode of goodness and connecting it to the Lord. That's what's actually happening. But because you connect it, it becomes spiritualized. Right? So if we're working in lifestyle mode of passion, ignorance, then its connection to the Lord is not as strong. Right? You can say no, anything can be connected, but who can connect such things would be someone who has a more mature understanding. And if they have a more mature understanding, why would they connect it? Does that make sense? Yes.
Can you say that the more influence is natural connection?
Yes.
Yes,
that's a very good point. Very good. What he was saying is that the mode of goodness is a natural connection to pure goodness. While passion and ignorance, you have to make extra steps, extra endeavor to connect it. Because you have to go through the things, find what's the essential point, see that central point in this purified condition, get that over to Krishna. Then it works. So you can do it, but you wouldn't do it as a standard. Right? You wouldn't do it as a standard. But the point is who would I say? Yeah, you wouldn't do it as a standard. But, let's take, you have a preacher over, you know, in some wild place like that. Then the preacher is dressing according to the local dress code. But in doing that, he's dressing very properly, very cultured. Right? Does that make sense? So it's not that it's, oh, we're from this thing, we can dress however we like. No, it's, we're preaching in this area, we dress so that it will be something that's, will, you know, be more beneficial to kind of raise people to a higher level of perspective or consciousness. Right? Does that make sense? But therefore, whenever you go into all the various churches and all that, then you see the preacher there is well-dressed. Well-dressed, well-groomed. Right? And you can say, oh, but that's just for the pictures and this and that. But do we think of John the Baptist as well-dressed, well-groomed? No, he was a bit of a novitu. You know? You understand? So you have all these different things. Is that no, they're following. So the Vedic principle is you should dress as a gentleman. So he's there, he's dressing as a gentleman. Not as a gentleman according to his definition, but according to what's accepted by the community. And it's not a lot different from his natural dress. It's just that the kurta happens to be, you know, a few feet longer and the chadar happens to be way bigger. But other than that, then, you know, and there's no dhoti, just a kurta and a chadar, right? You know, something like that. So it's not that much difference. Does that make sense? You know, and he can follow the principle of either you shave it all or you leave it all. So, you know, are you bald? Is that? Yeah. Does that make sense? So then he's finding the yeses, but you have to take, like you said, those extra steps. Because you have to get it down. The other point is the gentlemanly aspect and this, and that culture, and then he applies it. While the mode of goodness is just natural to apply it. Very easy. Is that?
Yeah. It seems that the preacher needs to be able to make those connections in order to preach.
Yes, but that requires maturity. So if you don't have the maturity, just do what those who are mature have done. Right? But you can't say, oh, because we are from this, we have to do like that. That already is a symptom of immaturity. That's neophyte mentality. But people are like this, we have to do like this, but that's the whole thing. So therefore you may have communities that are so closed that they won't accept anything else. You know, like let's say at that time the British community, they were so narrow-minded that if you didn't dress like them, you were just weird. You know, they didn't like how the French dressed, and they're just, you know, you throw a rock and you hit France, you know? Like that. You know, so that's the whole, you know, it's just so very narrow-minded. So when the Shastras talk about the Malechas, you know, in the modern context, they mean the English. The Vishupuran is talking about the English, is the Malechas. And the Malecha Bhasha and the Malecha, and it says, and they're so proud of it. like that. You know what I mean? Like that. It's and it's like the French, you know, you go there, they know English, but you speak English, they don't respond. They just speak French because you're in France. Why aren't you speaking French? You know, if they go to America, they can't speak French, they have to speak English. So therefore, hey. So they're very proud of the language, but it's kind of like, of course, you know, they just, we are who we are, and they just go on. There's not a sense of trying to put it over on others. But you go across the channel, and the English, everybody has to know they're superior. You understand?
Yes.
So, that narrow-mindedness, then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would have people dress in that way and then go to preaching. So if that's all it takes is going in a suit, and then they'll listen to you, hey, he'll do it. Right? But when you go into other cultures that are more, a little bit more accommodating in that, you see, Prabhupada didn't do that. Like that. Some situations he would have it. He would go to programs, his students would be wearing suits, and he'd be dressed as he is. So he expected sannyasis to always dress in the sannyasi outfit. Others, if need be, could dress in other ways, but sannyasi is always dressed like that. You know what I'm saying? You know, the layman, he's Christian, he dresses in his way. But you expect the priest or the pope to dress, you know, how they dress. You know, if the pope showed up in, you know, some cargo jeans and, you know, you know, a t-shirt says, you know, Jesus rules or something, you know, you think, you know, what's going on here, you know?
Rocks.
Jesus rocks, yeah. You know. Or he has that big tattoo on his shoulder, you know, the, what do you call it? The heart with the you know, the yeah, brambles on it or something. You know.
Okay, you know. Mary.
Huh?
Mary.
Mary, yeah. Yeah, you know, so you can, but you would think this is strange, you know. So, that's the whole point, is that therefore the sannyasis are those who are living that priestly lifestyle. They'll always connect to that. And others can't complain. They may say it's different, but they can't actually complain. Like that. Because every religious sect all around the world, those who are living the traditional lifestyle, they look very different than the common people and look very different from others. You know what I'm saying? You know, you go over the West Orthodox, you know, they keep their face clean and then generally hair short and all that, and wear a yarmulke, you know, like that, you know. But you go over to the East Orthodox and they wear this funny kind of like batsy thing on their head, you know, like more like a fez hat, you know, without the little tassel, and the beard and long hair, you know. So everyone's different. So it's not that the common person has a beard and hair over there in the East. You know, you understand? So they have their method and nobody minds. But now the general, now they may. So then, if need be, it's done. Like that. So people can accept at least that much. Does that make sense? But the point is since it takes more maturity to be able to see it and engage it, therefore we should use the maturity that Prabhupada gave us. Rather than claim that our maturity is greater than Prabhupada's. Like that.
The conditioning overwhelming the process that removes the conditioning.
Yes, yeah, the conditioning overwhelms the process that removes the conditioning. And then they're claiming that this is advanced, right? Because it's all in the mind, it's all this, we don't have to follow the rules, it's just the sentiment. And by yesterday's discussion in the Vedanta Sutra, what group is that? That's the Sahajas. Because it's all about their feelings, their mind, and I don't have to do any of the rules, and we don't need all this kind of stuff. That's exactly Sahajayan Buddhism. We don't need rules and regulations, we don't need study of the scriptures, well, all that stuff is nonsense. We just need that sentiment. So coming from a background where all you need is to have a little bit of faith, you know, and the man with the long shirt and the big cheddar, Then that's it. You know, how do they make the person here? How do you say he's a Christian? How do you know he's a Christian? What dress does he do that's different? What's in his lifestyle? His food, how he does, you know, how he goes to the toilet, or is there any? No. So what defines him as Christian? He simply has that faith in the Guru. That's it. He has no knowledge of the philosophy. follows no rituals. So coming from that kind of background, naturally the Sahajayan seems a lot more natural. I feel like this, therefore it must be good. I feel, therefore I am. So that's the difficulty. So it's this, the conditioning overwhelms the process, and then it tries to replace the process and says it's a better process. But according to the tradition and the history, you're creating an apasampradaya by this. Because sahajya means taking sahajayan Buddhism, mixing it with Vaishnavism. You get the sahajya. You know what I'm saying? You know, you mix Vaishnavism with the Islamic thing, you know, like that on the devotional side, you end up with Sufis or other things like this. So you get, or the, what do you call it? The Dharaveshes. Like that. So that's the difficulty, is all these things, it's just you mix it with that. It's not that you can't do it. Yes, you can, but then you end up with something totally different.
Sorry.
Yeah, now move.
It's just a
bamboo. It's all the time. He gets a new friend.
He doesn't mind.
He doesn't mind.
He wants to hear.
He wants to hear, yes. As they're coming to the front. Right? He couldn't hear from all the way back there. So one has to be careful of that. That as soon as the conditioning overwhelms the process, you actually end up with an apasampradaya. Mm-hmm. Right? So it's apasampradaya as opposed to mixed devotional service. Because their secondary attributes become more important than the primary. It's like, okay, we'll accept this, but we're attached to this particular thing. Like, I remember once talking with a group, I think it was the Ritviks. And so, and we were dealing with the head guys of the Ritviks. And so then we had very long, long discussion. It was an official discussion. And everybody was saying that this and that. And at the end of the discussion, the head of this group, then he turned to me, because I was talking about Prabhupada as the founder, Acharya, and this and that, and how all these things can be worked out. Because if you get the primary right, you can work out the secondary. And he was saying, says, of everybody here, he says, what they're saying and what I was saying, that's the common point. He says, everybody else is talking something totally different. He says, but the problem is, in his mind, is what I'm talking about, I'm putting all the emphasis on siksha, while they're putting all the emphasis on diksha. So actually, then they're bringing in this aspect of diksha pranali, is the important aspect, which is there from the Goswamis. And so because they're attached to that, therefore they have to stick to this. But otherwise, philosophically, they accept it. I remember that was the second generation of that group. You know? Then you went back to the original group who started it. Back in back in the 80s. Like that. I remember Atmatattva talked to the heads of that group, saying the same thing about Founder Charya. They accepted it completely. They said, if this is what everybody said, we'd accept that. We'd have no problem. So they weren't as attached to the secondary. They just happened to be more narrow-minded on just seeing Prabhupada in a particular light and couldn't accommodate anybody else. But in doing that, then they could then see, okay, Prabhupada's there and we can accommodate others. In other words, the primary's there. We can accept the secondary that, you know, ISKCON practices. Because the primary is brought up. But he says, others don't talk the primary. Right? I mean, it's just, what's that, 2 years ago? The kind of official book came out on Prabhupada's the Founder Acharya?
Yes.
Yeah, but we presented this as a paper in 84. Mm-hmm. You know, but it wasn't seen that it was important. Because the difference between primary and secondary, because for us, Prabhupada gives us something, we see it, and it's a secondary aspect, because we're doing it for Krishna, therefore it becomes spiritualized, so we don't see the difference. We weren't making the difference between primary and secondary. Because if you follow that technically, you don't need to. Like in the spiritual world, they don't make the distinction. So if you're functioning on that platform of pure devotion, you don't need to make the distinction. But in time, as devotees are getting distracted by the, you know, modern concepts of community and stuff like that, then you have to make the distinction. Right? Does that make sense? You know, so then, you know, 30 years later, then, okay, then it's accepted as a concept, but not necessarily as a main principle. You understand? So that first group would have accepted it, and it would have been, the whole thing would have dissipated. But because they were looking at secondary, and other devotees weren't making a distinction between primary and secondary, then they were at loggerheads. So that's the whole thing. When you bring out the primary, that's when you get rid of all the differences. Then there's not a problem. So this,
often think of Sahaja as being not intellectual and just sentimental.
Yes.
But in what you've been describing now, there's a lot of intellectual activity going on to justify or explain. It can be sometimes very intellectual Sahajas, it would seem.
Yeah. It just becomes a mix of things. You know, I'm sure that there will be those who are more knowledgeable in these different lines. You know, from what I understand, I don't know if anybody remembers back, but it's a group of four. They're all the same thing, but they're kind of like different levels on the thing. You have the owls, bowels, sahajas, and a fourth one. So they're like different levels on this. So one is like the brahmacharis, next is like the grihasthas and vanaprasthas and sannyasis, like that. So they all get together in that, but they have their different kind of levels that they're practicing. So there may be some, those higher ones that have more knowledge and more this and that, and that inspires all the other ones who don't. But the problem comes is because those who are intellectual, they have intelligence and they can see things in a way. Their interpretation may need some work, but then the problem is as others take it up, they can't actually understand what they're talking about. So they turn what they're talking about into a secondary aspect. Right? Even if you're talking about secondary, it's secondary within secondary. And then it really becomes a mess. Then you can see it's just sentiment and what do you call it? Misgivings. We should have firm faith that the Lord is supreme and that if we surrender to Him, He will take charge of us and indicate how we can get out of material life and return home back to Godhead. Without such surrender, one is obliged to accept a certain type of body according to his karma. Sometimes it's an animal, sometimes a demigod, and so on. Although the body is obtained and lost in due course of time, the spirit soul does not actually mix with the body, but is subjugated by the particular modes of nature with which he is sinfully associated. Spiritual education changes one's consciousness so that one simply carries out the orders of the Supreme Lord and becomes free from the influence of the modes of nature. Okay? So that's the thing, you're trying to get to this point of the spiritual education so you actually have the knowledge. Because you're not necessarily going to change the activity. You're going to change the consciousness of using the activity. Then as the consciousness changes, then one finds, if need be, you can change the activity. Because there's some activities they don't need to be changed now, but with time as we mature, then they're naturally changed. Or there may be some activities that it will be more ideal if we change it now. It will help with the consciousness. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yes. You have to remember, fans are on, voice is loud.
And activities, like some devotees, they get, like, we have to be mature, and but some devotees get over mature and they get overwhelmed because, for example, like you express the recommended lifestyle expressed through the occupation. Like you have Brahminical lifestyle, but then you have your occupation. But some, like in Satyantra Kamrita, we said that we can, it's not like you're particularly attached to a certain, like, varna or something. That's why
no, but we're, but it doesn't mean that we.
They're like, no, I'm doing artistic activity, then I'm doing Ramindam, I'm doing Chandam, I'm doing Vaishya.
Yeah, but what's the underlying mentality? Because no, but the point is if it's not brahminical, then how can they switch around? Brahmins can do all the activities. Kshatriyas can do some of them. Vaishyas less, Shudras less than that. You understand? So, I'm an artist today, but what's the foundation? Is it about Krishna, or is it about just your feelings and your sentiments and expressing them?
When you bring up the mental aspect, then they say, oh, it's all prestige. I'm higher than that.
You're higher than that. How are you higher than that? If anybody says I'm higher, what do all the acharyas say? I'm lower than a worm and stool. And here that he's saying I'm doing artwork and that I'm higher than a Brahmin. Brahmin means one who knows Brahman. How are they higher? Vaishnava is just a realized Brahmin. So they're saying a realized Shudra is higher than a Brahmin? What? It doesn't make sense. So therefore, you're dealing with the mode of ignorance, where what's right is wrong, what's wrong is right. So therefore, it's just a symptom of their Shudra conditioning. You know? And we must make it clear here that Shudra is good. It's human. Most mentalities that go on today are subhuman. So Shudra is looking up.
You just try to take them away from their emotional crisis and try to bring them down to purely.
If you can. The point is this Brahminika means it has to be about Krishna. But you can't say is yes, it's connected to Krishna, but higher than what Brahman? So, you know what you're saying? If they're talking about the occupation itself, the activities of a Shudra are in their position that they have to be guided by a Vaishya who's guided by a Kshatriya who's guided by a Brahmin. You understand? It's just the hierarchy. You know what I'm saying? Otherwise, it's like this. You have the man who's driving the truck for the trucking company. And they're saying, because I drive the truck, I'm the highest. Because if I didn't drive the truck, then all those guys sitting in the office, what benefit would they get? You understand? But the guys in the office tell the truck driver where to go. They arrange what's being done. They deal with all the official stuff. They pay all. They do everything. All he does is drive the truck. You could get anybody to drive the truck, but how many people can you get to run the business? So that's why the Vaishyas are higher. When you come to that mechanics, then Shudra is on the bottom. You connect it to Krishna, then you make no difference. Means the effect of the Shudra activity and the effect of the Brahminical activity is all going to please Krishna. So therefore, you're all going to develop spiritually. But as far as mechanical form goes, there is a hierarchy. It's just the way it is. And if one can't accept that, one will never be successful in life. You just will not. You can't be. You know, if you can't tell the difference between a knife and a spoon, you got a problem. Ever tried to drink your soup with a knife? Yeah, it's a problem. I mean, some people try to eat their peas with a knife, right? You know, that's an old cliche. You know, line them up. No, you line them all up on there. And then, I don't know where that joke came from, but whatever. You understand? So, but the point is it's if you can't tell the difference, then how can you say you're intelligent? One is saying all these so-called intelligent things, but one is not actually very intelligent. Arjuna did that. You know, and what was Krishna's first point? You know, while speaking like a learned man, you know, you're acting like a fool. So the whole point is this, how is that Shudra activity better than a Brahmin? Okay, you're taking a smart Brahmin, and yes, the consciousness of a Shudra performing his duties to please Krishna is he's in a higher place because he's Vaishnava, so he's actually attained that. But that doesn't mean that the activities that he's now going to tell the Brahmin what to do. No, it's that the Brahmin is telling, the Kshatriya is telling, the Vaishya is telling him. He's fourth in line when it comes to the mechanics. But as far as consciousness, as far as respect within the ashram, he's higher. You understand? So it needs discrimination. That's why Bhagavatam's pointing out and making this discrimination.
They need to, because you can't bring it up. If you bring this up, then you say, I'm chanting Hare Krishna, we're all higher than that. Nothing
Yes, yes, you're chanting Hare Krishna. And then how much Hare Krishna are you chanting? 24 hours in a day, chanting 16 rounds, that's 2 hours. What about the other 22 hours a day? How Hare Krishna are you then? Do you understand? So that's the point. But that 2 hours is very valuable. And so we're not going to, you know, that 2 hours is more important than the 22. But the point is that 22 hours should be where you're gaining your humility from. Okay, you can have that pride from that 2 hours, but the other 22 hours, that's where you should be cultivating your humility. Mm-hmm. You know, because you're trying to say, I'm superior, I'm better than the Brahman. Where have you ever seen anywhere in any of the scriptures, any of the advanced devotees talking like that? They point out as a fact it's like that, but culturally they do not talk like that. They just don't. So if we're going to culturally talk like that, that's then where we show our symptom of that we're actually not that developed. We still think because of my position. So here it's not my activities, not but my spiritual. The secondary aspect of that is there. Because then if you really get into it, then the hierarchy comes down to what's the quality of your chanting. So now what's there? Okay, so what's the quality of your chanting? Is that going to be up for discussion? No. So therefore, individuals like that, you just leave and go to talk to somebody else. Life is short. Don't waste the time. Okay. Sri Yamaraj continued, just as a householder, although different from the identity of his house, thinks his house to be identical with him, so the conditioned soul, due to ignorance, accepts the body to be himself, although the body is actually different from the soul. Right? So you understand, is that the house is one thing, and the person living in the house is totally different. But because we identify with it, then there's problem. Now, we go on, we maintain as we are the, you know, how you say, lord of the house. Right? But the whole point is, does the house have problems? Right? You know, things, you know, break, something needs fixing, something needs repairing, needs painting, needs redecorating, needs all these kind of things. So it's a constant thing that goes on. Now, for us, just being able to sit and enjoy this wonderful house, it's a problem. Right? This goes back to our original point. It's worth thinking that everything should be nice all the time, but no, it's just the way things are. So in the same way as us in the house, and we can see that there's a difference, it's falling apart and we're still the same. Same way as the body is there, it's falling apart, and we, the soul, are the same. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point. It's always going to come to that. There's always going to be a change in that. There's always going to be transformation.
Acting as the servant of the house, not the master of the house.
Yes, if you work as a servant in the house, then it works easier because you're just supposed to take care of it. But if you're master of the house, it's always an annoyance because you always have to take care of it. So if we're taking care, doing our duties for Krishna, then all the difficulties that come up, we don't mind. Mm-hmm. Is that it? Yeah. This body is obtained through a combination of portions of earth, water, and fire. And when the earth, water, and fire are transformed in the course of time, the body is vanquished. The soul has nothing to do with this creation and dissolution of the body, right? Because transformation takes place and at one time it goes away. Like you see in Rome. The Colosseum, there's been some transformation. And so therefore, you know, you don't see the whole thing there anymore. Like that? Does that make sense? And so they're having to do so much repair work, you know, again transformation, but trying to go back the other way. Like, you know, does that make sense? Yeah. The soul has nothing to do with this creation and dissolution of the body. As fire, although situated in wood, is perceived to be different from the wood. As air, although situated within the mouth and nostrils, is perceived to be separate. As the sky, although all-pervading, never mixes with anything. So the living entity, although now encased within the material body of which it is the source, is separate from it. Right? So in all these cases, we see the separate things. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, like in this room, it's full of air. But it's not that it, somehow or another this air and this room are non-different. The air moves. Right? The space is already there. The air, the house happens to be within that area. That because space is such, it can accommodate everything. Why? Because when it takes up something, the space is now, that space that it covers is inside. You know, it's inside the walls. It's in, you know, so it's already there. So space already has to exist for things to be able to be accommodated. You know, major, major flaw in quantum physics. You know, they think space is expanding, but then it's what happens if the space expands slower than the other things? You know? So it means there's always space. They say, oh, it can go on unlimitedly. That means because space is unlimited. Srila Prabhupada comments, according to the reactions of karma, the living entity being, the living being appears separate from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But actually, he is very intimately related with the Lord. Consequently, even though we now seem neglected by the Lord, he is actually always alert to our activities. Under all circumstances, therefore, we should simply depend upon the supremacy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and thus revive our intimate relationship with him. We must depend upon the authority and control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So it appears we're separate because we're looking at it that way. We're looking at what I want to do. Right? Now let's take, you take the point. The child, small child is behaving badly. Right? So then there's some, you know, some kind of, how you say, correction is there. You know, has to go sit in the corner or do something, right? Mm-hmm. So, in that, are the parents unaware of his position, what he's doing? Right? Parents are fully aware. Right? Yes? Because there's two parts to this. So it was very interesting to see the reaction. So I say, I give the example, and some individuals that immediately nod their head, of course. And others are, they're thinking about it. And others are, what are you talking about? Right? So, therefore then, because they're always aware, even though the kids, they're completely aware of what they're doing and all this and that to make sure nothing goes wrong and this and that. Because they care about the kid. Right? You know, the point is, it's not actually upset. It's a matter of the kids behaving badly. It's bad for them to behave like that. They have to be corrected. Like Mother Jashoda wants to correct Krishna. Because otherwise, then her point, she makes the point, it's right there in Krishna book, that otherwise they grow up to be behaving badly, won't know right from wrong, and then therefore he won't be successful in his life. People won't deal with him properly, nothing. So therefore the parents' point is, they have to make him into a proper, you know, gentleman. Otherwise, then they'll have problem in their life. Right? But they're watching. So, but for the kid, it appears they're neglecting because they're there and the parents doing something else. But they're fully aware, right? So, like that, the Supreme Lord is, you know. Or let's say someone who's a good cook. They're cooking something. It's on the fire. They're going to another part of the kitchen. They're fully aware of what they're cooking. So they know exactly when to come back to stir. Right? Even they go a long distance, they're concentrating on the pot. Then they go and they go, I have to go back now. Then they go stir, then they'll come back again. Does that make sense? But those who aren't conscious, then the thing burns. Right? So that's already, but Krishna is always conscious of these things. He's always aware because of his affection for the living entities. That's why he can always take care. So if according to our activities, something nice should happen, it will happen. Something nice should not happen, it won't happen. Does that make sense? Because he's always aware. So now if we become always aware of him, then it starts to work. Right? So that's the whole point. We're intimately connected with the Lord. It means, how close are you with somebody who's sitting in your heart all the time?
Pretty close.
You know what I'm saying? You know, is your mother with you all the time? Yeah, okay. First few years, yes. But after that, you know? You know what I'm saying? So it changes, you know. Or even you know, the person has got a new affection and all that, and they're so overwhelmed. But when they're in the toilet, they are not remembering about that great affection. But Krishna's there. Like that. So there's no one more intimate than him. So that's the whole point. So he knows everything, and so he's trying to get, he wants to do nice, but if you're behaving badly, how can you get nice? You know, the parent wants nice for the kid. If the kid's behaving badly, they can't, you know, give him a candy and say, you know, nice boy. Yeah, so, okay, yeah. Yamaraj continued, "Oh, lamenters!" lamenters! We're going to break at 1:45. You know, I mean, you can go now if you want. I'm just saying, just in case. You know, it's all a matter.
1:45.
Oh, you weren't here in the evening.
No.
Yes, yeah. Means because we have two periods of Bhagavatam anyway.
Yes.
So, but then that other one's only 45. It's a little tight. So we wanted to give it an hour, and then we'll give an hour and 15 for this. So that, and also, somehow or another, I think it's in the morning, somehow the system goes through more quickly, while in the afternoons after lunch, and so everything just sits there, so you never have to go to the bathroom. Like in the evening, even if it's an hour and a half, no one gets up. But in the morning, many times, everyone has to get up. And so it's a little shorter, that 15 minutes seems to make a lot of difference.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, means the other ones coming won't know, but
they do.
They do. You told. Oh, okay, very good. Okay, oh lamenters, you are all fools. Like, oh curry munchers. Okay, the person named Suyagya, for whom you lament, is still lying before you and has not gone anywhere. Then what is the cause for your lamentation? You understand? Now he's saying, if you're taking it that he is the body, mm-hmm. not the soul, the body's still there. Why are you lamenting? Right? Does that make sense? And naturally, if you say, well, he's gone, so that means he's the soul. So what do you got to do with the body?
But you want the body and the soul together.
Yes, but the soul's gone, so all you got's the body. Right? You know. Yeah, you know, it's just like what was it called? It would be like a white guy playing funk or something. You know, form may be there, but the soul isn't. No. Okay. If the example worked, it's in some it did, some it didn't. Okay.
I doubt that they actually want the body and the soul. Basically, they just want the body to reciprocate.
Yes, because they're not actually identifying the soul. Devotees can identify. It means they can understand because they're from the Vedic culture. Mm-hmm. But the tendency is not. Of course, you want both, but the one's gone. So then, and so then, and even if the soul's there, there has to be that soul who's conditioned by that body. Because we see it's when Chitra Ketu, when his son came back, he came back on the Brahman platform. You know, because when the soul leaves, then they have that time when they're not connected with everything, so they're on the platform of Vasudeva Sattva, you know, before going into the next conditioned body. So being on that platform, when they said, oh, my son, it's kind of like, well, which parents are you? You know, everybody, I have parents, and I have had unlimited ones, so could you please identify which ones you are? You know, so that definitely takes the steam out of that whole kind of, you know.
Dampens the rasa a little.
Yeah, it definitely dampens the rasa. You know, it's like, get in line behind the other, you know, unlimited... Because factually you can say, no, but I'm the latest parents. No, that means you're the last one. What about the first ones? They must really be, you know, lamented. You know, so you know they have first come, first serve, right? So you know they're there first. So you know you get in line behind all those other 10 million parents. You know, you see them all there. You know, different, all the different species of life and the two bugs. And, you know, everybody is there getting in line. You know? Yeah, that would be wild. Huh? Yes. Okay. Previously, he heard you and replied to you, but now, not finding him, you are lamenting. This is contradictory behavior, for you have never actually seen the person within the body or heard you and replied. There is no need for your lamentation, for the body you have always been, you have always seen is lying here. In the body, the most important substance is the life air, but that also is neither the listener nor the speaker. Beyond even the life air, the soul also can do nothing. For the super soul is actually the director, in cooperation with the individual soul. The super soul conducting the activities of the body is different from the body and living force. The five material elements, the 10 senses, and the mind all combine to form the various parts of the gross and subtle bodies. The living entity comes in contact with his material bodies, whether high or low, and later gives them up by his personal prowess. The strength can be perceived in his personal prowess because it means the soul is eternal, so therefore it can give up the body. The soul is not eternal, so the body cannot give up the body. Right? So it's controlled. But the soul, because of his personal prowess of being eternal, therefore he leaves the body in his eternalness. Right? But because he doesn't appreciate his prowess, then he ends up in another body. This strength can be perceived in a living entity's personal power to possess different types of bodies. As long as the spirit soul is covered by the subtle body, consisting of the mind, intelligence, and false ego, he is bound to the results of his fruitive activities. Because of this covering, the spirit soul is connected with the material energy and must act accordingly, and must accordingly suffer material conditions and reversals continually, life after life. It is fruitless to see and talk of the material modes of nature and their resultant so-called happiness distress as if they were factual. When the mind wanders during the day and a man begins to think himself extremely important, or when he dreams at night and sees a beautiful woman enjoying with him, these are merely false dreams. Similarly, the happiness and distress caused by the material senses should be understood to be meaningless. Right? So, when the mind wanders during the day and a man begins to think himself extremely important. Mm-hmm. Your point before you. Yeah. So all these things, this is all the modes of nature. Like that. You know, sometimes you feel you're important, sometimes you feel you're useless, sometimes you have inspiration, sometimes you're desperate. You know, it just keeps moving. That's the modes. Okay? Yes.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Shri Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura ki.